Labor Day deals are looking good at Lowe's. Save $10 on 1 gallon cans and $50 on 5 gallon pails of select interior paint via rebate. Plus, get two 2.5 quart or 3 quart Mums for just $8. A fresh look and savings? Even better. Labor Day deals are on now at Lowe's, in store and online. Valid through 9/9 while supplies last. Mum sizes vary by location and exclude Alaska and Hawaii. See store at Lowe's.com for more details.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
This is Matt Rogers from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
This is Bowen Yang from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
You know when people try on new food and suddenly it's like, wait.
That's the reaction a lot of people are having when they first try QB mayo.
It's the one with the red cap and the little baby on the bottle. You've probably seen it in the grocery store before.
And if you've ever just walked past it, some people would say that's a huge mistake.
Because this mayo is different.
Most mayonnaise uses whole eggs. QB only uses egg yolks, which gives it this rich umami flavor. It's smoother, deeper, and almost buttery.
Once people try it, they start putting it on everything.
Egg sandwiches, fries, burgers. Some fans even swear by dipping pizza crust in it.
And once you notice it, you start seeing it everywhere.
Chefs use it. Restaurants use it. People who really care about flavor use it.
Never tried it? Grab the bottle with the red cap next time you're at the store.
Put it on just about anything.
Then you'll understand.
QB, the original Japanese mayonnaise.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
You're listening to continuing coverage of the trial of Chad Daybell from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast. Let's go back to the courtroom.
Everyone, we're on the record on KCR 2221-1623, State of Idaho versus Chad Guy Daybell. Continuing with evidence from the state in their case in chief, Mr. Douglas on the stand. I'll remind the witness, still under oath for testimony in this case. I'll also note the jurors are all present, all 18 jurors, and properly seated. The courts received the juror affirmations from this morning as well regarding following the court's admonishing instruction each day. So thank you, each of you, for following that instruction. I'll also please remind all those in attendance here, there's a courtroom conduct order in effect that will be enforced. So please make sure any devices or anything that would be disturbing to the court or the jurors not take place. And with that in mind, I think, Mr. Wood, if you'd like to continue with direct examination, you can go ahead and do that.
Thank you. Mr. Douglas, good morning.
Good morning, sir.
When we finished off yesterday, we'd gone over multiple financial timelines, correct?
Correct.
All right. In the course of your investigation, yesterday you spoke multiple times about Venmo.
Yes.
In the course of your investigation, did you investigate further into Venmo activity for Tylee Ryan?
I did.
And did you do so in view of the other facts of this case as well?
Yes, I did.
What records did you review in your investigation regarding Venmo activity?
So the original review was of the Venmo in and of itself. Tylee had a Venmo account and Lori had two. And after reviewing the Venmo activity in of itself, I reviewed what is also called the funding source for the Venmo, being the credit cards and debit cards, bank accounts associated with those, or what the funds would have been drawn from.
Your Honor, I'd ask that the witness be handed State's Exhibit 117.
Thank you.
Mr. Douglas, do you recognize State's Exhibit 117?
I do.
What is it?
This is a timeline that I created that I titled Venmo Activity that includes the two accounts that Lori had regarding Venmo as well as Tylee's.
All right. And did you prepare that in anticipation of testifying today?
I did.
Did you prepare that to aid the jury in understanding the Venmo activity on Tyler Ryan's account and how it might interact with this case?
That is correct.
Is that a true and accurate representation of the timeline or chart you created?
It is.
Your Honor, I'd ask that for demonstrative purposes, the State's Exhibit 117 be entered into evidence.
Any objection?
No objection, Judge.
Very well. Exhibit 117 is entered and admitted.
May I publish?
Yes.
Mr. Douglas, this chart doesn't all fit at once, so I'm going to start.
Okay. Sorry about that.
Can you, you talked about the documents you looked at to prepare this. Can you just explain for the jury in a little more detail how you put this together?
So starting in January of 2019, the two, or now you can see the three accounts, I labeled the funding sources that were associated with these accounts. As I stated yesterday, Lori had a few JPMorgan Chase accounts, but Tylee's JPMorgan Chase account was the only funding source associated with her Venmo account until September. And this also, the activity, the Venmo also provides who the funds are going to. And as associated would been how that individual labeled themselves in Venmo.
All right. So can you tell us who was Tylee Venmoing money to?
So if you could slide it up a little bit, please. So as you can see, as I labeled from January 7th to August 7th, Tylee's account was associated with her JPMorgan account ending 3918. Her primary Venmo activity was to Colby Ryan, who was her older brother, as well as Kelsey Benson, who is Colby's significant other. Also a friend of hers, two of her friends, this Jillian Kennedy and a McKenna Webb, to which there was only one transaction each.
I'm going to point with my pen. So these payments, is that the number of payments being made?
That is correct. Throughout that time frame, that is the amount of payments associated with that account.
So how much did she send in that time frame to Colby Ryan?
Tylee?
Yes. I'm sorry, that wasn't very clear. How much did Tylee send to Colby Ryan?
So throughout that time frame, Tylee had Venmoed Colby four times for $170 total.
And so you talked about a change in the funding source. Is that represented on this chart?
It is.
Where is that?
If you'll slide it over slightly, and the jury will be able to associate this chart with the chart that we referenced yesterday, Tylee's bank account records, the orange being associated with the orange on that account or that chart, as well as the red being associated with the red on that chart as well. And the funding source, I tried to get as close to even as possible, being changed per Venmo September 10th. Of 2019.
And was there still Venmo activity after that?
There was.
And you have on here the move to Rexburg around September 1st?
Yes.
Right. And then that you have it labeled Tylee is killed on September 9th?
Correct.
Was there still Venmo activity after that?
There was.
What Venmo activity took place after that?
So the Venmo activity there in the bottom right, starting September 10th, going through December 18th to Colby Ryan.
And do you have an amount that was sent to Colby Ryan?
There were 29 payments throughout that time period, totaling $5,940.
And you said that Colby is Tylee's brother?
Older brother.
So Lori Vallow is his mother?
Correct.
Your Honor, I'm going to ask that the witness be handed State's Exhibit 97 and 97A. 97 is a business records affidavit, which is the one subpart A. I believe this comes in by way of stipulation.
That's correct, Judge. Thank you.
Okay. I'll just review those quickly. Exhibit 97 and Exhibit 97A are both admitted.
Thank you. Mr. Douglas, do you recognize State's Exhibit 97A?
I do.
What is it?
These are records provided from Etsy.
Okay. And what is what do they show?
They show purchase by Lori on the date of August 15th, 2019, I have heard two items with the description of glow-in-the-dark malachite rings, malachite inlay titanium rings.
Your Honor, may I publish that exhibit for the jury?
You may.
Mr. Douglas, if you can show the jury what you were just speaking of.
So the information being provided by Etsy here and the order date or the day of purchase being August 15th for the total value of the $259 shipped to Miss Lori Vallow and the description being down here in this area.
And was there an email associated with Lori Vallow on that document?
Yes, there is.
What is it?
Lollytime@iCloud.com.
Detective, Mr. Douglas, I apologize. Did you do any further investigation into this purchase?
I did.
Was this purchase successful?
This purchase was returned. It was refunded to Ms. Vallow.
And do you know why?
No, but not at this time for this one specifically.
All right. Your Honor, the state has no further questions at this time.
All right. Cross-examination, Mr. Pryor.
You previously mentioned that we can refer to you as Mr. Douglas, right?
Yes, sir. That would be fine.
Not agent.
No, sir. Not an agent. A forensic accountant, sir.
Okay. I recall you putting up one of the exhibits where it reflected that Chad purchased a phone prior to meeting Lori Vallow. Do you recall that?
I do.
Okay, and what was the purpose of putting that particular identifier on the Tammy's or the life timeline that you created in that situation?
So when we requested the information from Walmart that they provided regarding all the electronics, that being one, I found that substantial because of the continued pattern of the purchase of cell phones throughout the time frame.
Okay, and did you look into what kind of phone that was?
It was provided, yes.
Okay, what kind of phone was that?
I can't say off the top of my head, sir. Okay. It's in my reports, but I can't remember.
It's one of those, and I don't want to use this term loosely, but it's one of those disposable phones. Would that be fair?
Sure.
Okay. Yes. And those either are required for you to add minutes to them, or you just purchase a new one. They're a relatively inexpensive way to have a second phone. Would you agree with that?
Yes, the purchase was inexpensive.
Right. And the continuing purchases of those phones was an inexpensive way to have a second phone, right?
It would have been.
Yeah. And if you're having an affair with another woman and you're married, that's a pretty ideal way to hide the fact that you're having an affair by using a phone like that. Wouldn't you agree?
If you say so, sir.
Well, it's not me saying so. I asked you.
No, I never purchased a phone for that purpose.
Well, I didn't ask you if you did, but would you agree that, you know,
it could be used for that?
Sure.
Could be used,
right. Okay. Now, you also talked about the number of items about purchases made. Is there any indication that in all of the financial records you examined, that there was any commingling? I guess that's a divorce term. Combining of assets between Chad Daybell and Lori Vallow.
There's no indication that money from Chad's account went into Lori's or Lori's account going into Chad's. Okay. Or no.
Okay. Now, we'll turn to Exhibit 112. And Judge, could I have Exhibit 112? I have a copy, Judge, if you would prefer to.
We've got the exhibit here.
Okay.
Mr. Pryor will have the court's exhibit. If you'd like the witness to review that, you can have it taken him as well.
Do you have a recollection of 112, or would it help for you to
just... If you pull it up, sir, I'll know which one it is.
If I could use the projector, Judge.
Yeah, it's been admitted, so the projector can be turned on.
Our skill level here is at best. Okay, so we start this with 4-3 of 2018. To your knowledge, Chad Daybell wasn't in the picture at that point, right?
No, sir.
And there's no indication that Chad Daybell knew Lori Vallow, sir?
The reason I put this on here, sir, was because...
I didn't ask you that. I just want you to answer my questions. I don't want...
There's nothing that shows that Chad knew Lori at this time.
Okay, thank you. And at that point, Chad also... didn't know Tylee Ryan, right?
No, not that I know of.
And there's no indication that at all that Chad Daybell knew Joe Ryan, correct?
No indication that I know of.
And there's no indication in 243 of 2018 that Chad Daybell knew J.J. Vallow, correct?
Sorry, state that again.
There's no indication that Chad Daybell knew J.J. Vallow, correct?
At this time, no.
Okay. And then we'll move on to your timeline of 6-14 of 2018. Tylee starts receiving Social Security payments. Same questions. Chad Daybell, to your knowledge, didn't know Tylee at this point, correct?
That, not to my knowledge, no.
JJ?
Nope.
Lori?
Not to my knowledge.
Okay. We can skip Tylee receiving her GED. 10-23-18. Lori opens that BBVA account on 10-23 of 18. At that point, Chad Daybell doesn't know Lori at that point either, right?
No, as indicated below, it would have been 3 days prior to that.
3 days prior?
This account would have been opened on 10-23. Chad and Lori met on 10-26.
Right.
So 3 days prior.
I see what you're saying. I'm sorry. I wasn't tracked.
Sure.
That's okay. That was my bad.
You'll be fine. Thank you.
So then we go to 10-26-18. And there's an indication that Lori Vallow came into a life insurance policy as the result of the death of Joseph Ryan. And she received a payment of $64,964.52. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Now, that's, and I need you to clarify this for me because it's important. That wouldn't have been the time she applied for the insurance money, correct?
No, this is when it was paid into her account.
Well, how long?
You have applied earlier.
Okay. And I'm going to slow down so I don't interrupt you again, or I'm going to hear about it. Any idea from your experience how long it takes to apply for life insurance payments before you generally would get those payments?
Well, in my experience specific to this case, sir, Chad applied and he received one check within a week.
Okay. And that was within regards to Tammy, right?
That is correct.
But I'm talking about in your experience with this one.
This one specifically took a little longer from what I remember regarding this.
Do you have a recollection of how long it took?
I don't. Not off the top of my head, sorry.
Okay. Would it be fair to say that Lori had been anticipating receiving this almost $65,000 prior to the time that she met Chad Daybell or was ever introduced to Chad Daybell?
Lori knew about this before she met Chad Daybell.
Okay. And then on 12-10 of 18, Tylee starts getting paid. And please clear that by the JNS.
JNS Investments. This is her uncle's business.
Okay.
That's the name that they were under.
Okay. And then Tylee begins making monthly payments to T-Mobile on 2/25 of 19, right?
Correct.
Charles, and that would be Charles Vallow, right?
Correct.
Co-signs for Tylee to get a Jeep, and Tylee begins making monthly payments. Okay. Is that fair in the squares I've represented there?
That's correct, yes.
And then you put down that Charles Vallow dies on 7/11/19, right?
Correct.
So what I'm having some difficulty with is this is Tylee's financial timeline, right?
Correct. That's what it's labeled, sir.
And it's talking about Tylee's, how she's spending her money and the manner in which she's spending the money, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And Chad Daybell has nothing to do with any of the transactions above, right?
Not on this, no.
Okay. And the only reference to Chad Daybell is you put, well, when they met, right?
Correct.
And then you put that Charles Vallow dies, right?
Yes.
You're not trying to imply that because of financial reasons in this particular exhibit, Chad Daybell had anything to do with the death of Charles Vallow, are you?
What I'm implying on this specific timeline, sir, was where Tylee's funds were going to come from and then what she spent them on. This is specifically to show on Tylee's spending habits, sir.
And I don't want to put an answer in your mouth to testify, but Mike, that wasn't really my question.
Question, because that's not the reason that I built this timeline.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Oh, sneak up behind me there. Is that where you're going?
There was a discussion on one of your exhibits where you talked about Lori mentioning to Chad about receiving a $4,000 payment. Do you remember that?
I do.
What exhibit was that again?
That's noted on a couple. It was on the one that you just handed back.
Okay. And then on the other one, it was...
It would have been regarding JJ as well.
I'm just going to say both of you are kind of getting into a habit of talking over each other. Please try to avoid that.
And if I could have exhibit...
Mr. Pryor, you just talked right over me when I was telling
you.
Please not do that. Thank you.
And if I could have exhibit 114, Judge.
Thank you. Judge, if I can publish this.
You may.
Oops. Is this an exercise here? Okay. Maybe not. Hopefully you can read that. About the $4,000 month in insurance from there. So on this particular chart, this was JJ's financial?
This would have been a timeline regarding JJ's, or transaction regarding JJ.
Okay, so the financial transaction regarding JJ, again, you put on there that Chad, Daybell, and Lori meet, right?
I did.
And then a box right next to it, again, you put down that Charles Vallow dies.
Correct.
Okay. And then on 7/18, after Charles Vallow's death, it says something about Lori texting Chad about receiving $400 a month in Social Security, but nothing from the insurance company.
That is correct. It's $4,000, not $400.
$4,000. I'm sorry. Thank you. And at this point, was there any other indication in your investigation that they ever talked prior to that time about any financial matters like Social Security or insurance?
Not that I can recall at this time, sir.
Okay. And this text was in the form of expressing her displeasure about the fact that this is what she discovered after Charles's death, right?
It could be said that way, sir.
Okay. And then we go on to, before I go there, there was nothing to indicate that Chad Daybell had any financial interest in that Social Security or insurance at that point on 7/18 of 2019, correct?
I don't know of a response regarding that.
Okay. You didn't find anything that showed that Chad had any financial link to any of her those accounts, right?
Correct.
Okay. And then Lori posts a dog for sale on 8/9 of 19, right?
Yes.
And then on 8/12, she names Colby Ryan the insurance beneficiary on her life policy?
Yes.
Okay. Now, at that point, at least we are aware that her and Chad are involved in a relationship of some kind, right?
I think that's fair to say.
And yet at that point, she names as a beneficiary on her life insurance policy, her and Colby Ryan's her son, right?
Yes.
With the deceased Joseph Ryan?
I believe so.
Okay. So she puts an insurance policy on her name, not Chad's at that point, or puts it on Colby's name, not Chad's for 100% of the beneficiary, right?
Correct.
And then she also previously, we talked towards the end of your testimony about the fact that she made numerous payments to Colby Ryan, right?
Correct.
And that was after, well after the last known sign of life of J.J. Vallow, correct?
Yes.
So she was giving at least in some indication money to Colby Ryan. And on 8/12 of 19, after Charles Vallow dies, she puts Colby Ryan on her insurance policy, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Now, then on 8/14, she applies for an apartment in Rexburg. And at that point, she's receiving a bit of money, right?
Yes.
Okay. And then she moves to Rexburg on 9/1. This is going to be a task. Bear with me, please.
All right.
I'm a lawyer, not a audiovisual person. But in any event, then we move on. She moves to Rexburg. And at this point, there's still no financial link between Chad Daybell and Lori Vallow, correct?
Correct.
And then on 9/8/19, when there's a last known sign of regarding Tylee Ryan, on 9/8 of 19, there's still no financial link between Chad Daybell and Lori Vallow of any kind. Is that correct?
There are no accounts with them associating funds at this time.
And then the prosecutor's assertion that the last known sign of life with J.J. Vallow was on 9/22/19. Again, there were no accounts that were mingled at that point, correct?
Correct.
And there was nothing financially showing them linked in any way, correct?
Correct.
And then after the fact that they, when they got married, again, there was no joint accounts to your knowledge, correct?
Correct.
Not sure how well we do that.
Now, on one of your exhibits, you talked something about a south-southwest wind. Remember that?
I do.
Okay. And the that was part of the email searching that you did as a result of, was that part of Tiley's?
Yes, that would have been on Tiley, sir.
Okay. And as far as financial, I found that a little unusual that you would include a Google search for the wind direction on Tiley's financial.
Sure.
Okay. That's not something of the ordinary, right?
Not necessarily, sir.
Okay. But you didn't include the emails after that that talked about Mr. Daybell burning some tree limb.
I didn't find that.
Objection. Sir. That's a fact, not an evidence.
Sustained. There wasn't any mention of that.
Did you have any occasion to review the emails and when you prepared all of this timeline?
I was told about it, yes. Okay. That one I was told about.
Okay. And that's not a fact of significance. The fact that there was a... the fact that you checked the wind isn't really relevant to Tiley's financial in terms of how the money was spent, right?
It's not regarding the financial transactions, okay. No.
So when we're talking about Tiley's financial, the wind direction really isn't relevant to that issue, correct?
Not to that, no.
Okay. And then, so why wouldn't you mention the fact that Mr. Daybell, if the wind issue wasn't relevant to that, why wouldn't you mention the fact that Mr. Daybell sent a text message to his wife saying that he was burning limbs the following morning?
Because I didn't discover that, sir.
Okay. Fair enough. Now, as part of this timeline, you talked about the financial situation of JJ, Lori, and Tiley. And in none of these timelines, I see a situation or a box where it talks about Lori sort of being out of the picture for a time during these range of events. Were you aware that Lori Vallow had temporarily relocated by herself to Hawaii around February 1st of 2019?
There are transactions that support that. She was coming and going from Arizona to Hawaii, yes.
Well, coming and going, or was she staying in Hawaii for 2 months?
I couldn't prove that she relocated.
Okay. But you can show that she was in Hawaii at least on around the 1st of February, correct?
Yes, and so was Tiley.
And from the whole time?
Both of them came and went.
Okay. And in 2019, also till about the end of March. Would that be consistent with what you found as well?
I would say there's transactions that support that.
Okay. Okay. And then in addition, during that time, did you have any indication of any transactions relating to JJ as to where he was during that time?
I'd have to review. I can't say right now.
Would it surprise you to learn that at about the same time frame of February 1st till the end of March that J.J. Vallow was predominantly with Charles Vallow?
He was his father, so it wouldn't surprise me, no.
Okay. Okay. Would that have any impact? Would you be able to determine whether that being separated and the receiver of those benefits being in another part of the country and the child being with the father when the parties are separated, would that cause any financial troubles for Ms. Vallow?
What benefits are you speaking of, sir?
As Social Security?
Tiley was the only one receiving Social Security at that time.
On February 1st of 2019?
Correct. Tiley was the only receiving it.
Oh, I'm sorry. There were other benefits that as a result of the death of Joseph. No, I'm sorry. You're right. That's correct. I stand corrected. Excuse me. Now, we talked a little bit on Exhibit 116, or you did, about a... life insurance situation with Tammy Daybell, correct?
I did.
Okay, and on 116, you talked about the map. I think it was Map Life is what you talked about, right?
There were two. There was Life Map and Primerica.
Okay. Do you have a recollection of when the initial life insurance policy with Tammy Daybell was put into place?
Not off the top of my head, no.
Were you aware that that policy was placed, one of the $300,000 policy was put in place back in approximately 2002?
That wouldn't surprise me.
Okay, but you don't have a recollection of that?
No, off the top of my head right now.
And you don't remember that fact? Doesn't jar any memory of that fact, correct?
Not right now, no.
Okay. But it wouldn't surprise you that's the case, correct?
No, she did have life insurance, correct.
Prior to. Right. And then the amount of life insurance, other than the life insurance from back in 2002 that she had, what about the life map? What are we talking about there?
You're talking specifically to the increase on 9-8?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so initially she had a base because of the employment at the part-time employment, I guess, as a librarian, right?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
I think that's what it was. So when you start the employment, you get an initial base of about 50,000, right?
That's what it was in the beginning.
Okay, so the insurance was at 50,000. And then on 9-8 of 2019, Tammy increased that to what?
To 130.
Okay, so the increase went up 80,000.
Correct.
So initially, before Tammy started employment with the school, her insurance was 300,000.
There was 300,000 before, and then before she started school.
And that was from some time ago, correct?
Sure. Yes.
Okay. Then she started at the school, and she had had to have worked there for about a year before she was eligible to increase the insurance, correct?
It was a year or two, yes.
A year or two.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know what it was per the rule, but I know it's at least a year, maybe more.
You have to put a probationary period in. You don't automatically get that insurance, mm-hmm. right?
Correct.
And that's a financial decision made by the school district, and I would anticipate, right?
That's, yeah, above me.
Okay. So then after a year, she can apply for an increase in that insurance from the total of 350 and add an additional $80,000 onto that, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And they elected to do that, correct?
They did.
Okay. And we don't know who elected to increase that insurance, correct? You weren't part of the family at that
point. I wasn't right? there.
Okay. And what I find interesting is that typically the school year would start the beginning of September for most school districts.
Most.
Yeah. And that's usually the time when the school districts say, this is your opportunity to elect whether you want to increase your insurance or not increase your insurance, correct?
Yes.
So it's not inconsistent that during the school year, just before the start of the school year, as a librarian or a teacher in that school district, the insurance is elected to go up after she served her 1 year probationary period, correct?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Now, you talked about on exhibit 776 and 774, you talked about Spring Creek and the $10,000 investment.
Mm-hmm.
And that was money that was put in to Spring Creek, and you know what Spring Creek is, right?
Chad's Book Company, yes.
And it wasn't just Chad's Book Company, was it? It was also Tammy's.
It would have been Tammy's, too.
It was both of theirs, so we could say that it was Tammy's Book Company, right?
Yes.
Or we could say it was Chad's Book Company, right?
Chad and Tammy.
Or what we should say is that it's Tammy and Chad's Book Company, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And then, there was some money that was $8,000 payments to each of the children, correct?
The three older children, yes.
Right. And then a short time after that, there was two vehicles, a minivan and then a black Dodge Dakota that Chad gave to each of the daughters as well, correct?
That actually took place prior. So the transfers took place on 6-9.
Right.
The vehicles were given to the daughters on 3-8.
Right. And subsequent to that, the vehicles were given to the daughters. So now you were aware that... Well, we'll move on from that. What I want to talk to you about is the malachite rings.
Hmm.
Okay. You made a comment that they were returned. I mean, it was canceled.
That transaction, that one specifically was canceled, yes.
Okay. Now, did you look into the size of the wedding rings in that it showed it up on the screen, the size of the wedding rings?
Correct? Well, it said 8 millimeters, but that's the width, not the size.
Okay. And that, thank you for clarifying that, because that was one of my questions. Thank you. Were you aware that shortly after August 15th of 2009, Alex Cox had been proposing marriage to Zaluma Pastenez?
I don't know the date of that.
It's facts, not in the record.
I didn't ask him whether it was facts. I asked him whether he's aware, Judge.
Overruled.
Okay. Were you aware that shortly after that time, Alex Cox had proposed marriage to Zaluma Pastenez?
I know Alex and Zaluma got married. I don't know when the proposal took place.
Okay. And then were you aware that also at the same time, Melanie Boudreau was contemplating the same thing, a marriage, shortly after that time as well? Were you aware of that?
No.
Okay. Okay. But you are aware that there's no indication through emails, text message, or otherwise that Chad Daybell was intending to marry Lori Vallow at that point. Is that right?
In August, the wedding, no. There was nothing to implicate a wedding in August that I knew of.
Or even a proposal for marriage at that point, correct?
Not that I can verify.
Right. Yeah. Judge, that's all I have. Thank you, Your Honor. I appreciate it.
All right. Mr. Wood, redirect.
Mr. Douglas, we were just talking about rings. Have you ever seen pictures of Chad and Lori's wedding?
I have.
What kind of rings are they wearing?
They're malachite rings.
Defense counsel asked you about why you put on the search for the south-southwest wind.
Mm-hmm.
Earlier you testified that as a forensic accountant, you look into factors outside just of the finances in a case. Is that correct?
Yes.
And when you came onto this case, it was a missing children case. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And so, defense counsel asked you about a text message Chad sent about burning limbs.
Correct.
And do you know what date that message was sent?
I believe that took place the day after on 9/9.
Right. And what was, pursuant to your investigation, what was the last known sighting of Tylee Ryan?
The last known sighting is 9/8.
Defense counsel asked you about the text message between Lori and Chad about the $4,000 in Social Security.
Correct.
So Mr. Daybell was aware that Lori was receiving at least $4,000 at that point in Social Security.
At least $4,000.
Right. You testified that there's no joint account of Chad Daybell and Lori Vallow.
Correct.
Did they live together at any point?
Yes.
Was that in Hawaii?
In Hawaii, yes.
And just finally, defense counsel asked you about, I'm going to call them burner phones that Mr. Daybell purchased. Is that accurate?
That is correct.
Okay. And he asked you if that would be a good way to hide an affair.
That is correct.
Well, would that be a good way to hide a crime?
Yes, in my experience.
So in your experience as a forensic accountant, do you see people engaged in criminal activity purchasing burner phones often?
Yes.
And so if someone was having an affair and then the mistress's husband dies and then your wife dies and you marry that woman 10 days later and then the next year two dead children are found on your property, are those the type of events that might lead someone to buy multiple burner phones?
It could.
Yeah. No other questions, Your Honor.
All right. Go ahead. You can recross on that limited scope, Mr. Pryor.
Here are your meeting as well.
At the podium, please.
And actually two questions. The financial transactions and issues related to finances with Tylee Ryan and JJ started about or around when?
The financial transactions that I was tracking with Tylee, we got data into 2018, but my charts are indicative of January of 2019.
Okay. And then the marriage and the time they lived together in Hawaii, Chad and Lori, started when?
So they got married November 5th of 2019.
Okay, and they lived in Hawaii together until when?
Until she was arrested, I believe.
In January. So 2 months.
2 months.
And the financial transactions prior to that went back at least a year, year and a half.
Yes.
Nothing else, Judge. Thank you.
All right. That'll conclude the testimony then of Mr. Douglas. Is he going to be recalled by either side?
Your Honor, at this point, he can be released from the state subpoena.
Okay. That'll conclude your testimony then, Mr. Douglas. Thank you for appearing. You can go ahead and step down, and if there are any exhibits on the bench, I'll have the bailiff grab those. I don't know if there are. Okay. The state ready to call its next witness?
Yes, Your Honor.
Who will that be?
The state will call Melanie Gibb.
Very well.
The testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing.
All right. Before we commence with testimony, Ms. Gibb, please make sure to answer all of the questions verbally so we make a good record. Try to avoid talking at the same time as any attorney questioning you. And I am going to inquire, now that you're under oath, have you reviewed or watched any of this trial since it started on the court's live stream?
No.
Have you talked to anyone else about testimony they gave in this trial so far? All right. With that in mind, then, Ms. Blake, if you'd like to inquire on direct, you may.
Thank you. Would you please state your name and spell it for the record?
Melanie Gibb, M-E-L-A-N-I-E-G-I-B-B.
Ms. Gibb, do you know an individual named Chad Daybell?
I do.
Do you recall approximately when you met him?
I believe it was the summer of 2017.
Do you recall where you met him?
I met him at a get-together that was like a camping environment.
Did you talk to him at that event?
I did.
Did you stay in close contact with him after that?
No.
Do you recall meeting an individual named Lori Vallow?
Yes.
How did you meet her?
I met her in a church building where I was given a class and she was in the audience.
Do you recall approximately when that would have been?
I believe October 2018.
And do you recall when you met her, who approached whom?
She approached me.
When you first met her, did you end up striking up a friendship?
Yes.
And did you stay in pretty consistent contact with her, at least initially after meeting her?
Yes.
Do you recall going to an event with Ms. Vallow towards the end of October of 2018?
Yes.
Do you recall when that was?
It was in October. I would say about a few weeks after I met Lori. And yes, we went to St. George, Utah.
Do you recall why you went to St. George, Utah?
We went for a conference.
Did anyone else travel with you and Lori to that conference?
Yes.
And do you recall who?
I can't remember their names. I think there was five or six of us.
Did you all travel together in the same vehicle?
Yes.
When you got there to the conference, do you recall if Mr. Daybell was there?
Yes.
What was he doing there, if you know?
He was selling his books and giving a talk.
Did you approach him at any point?
Yeah, we talked.
Were you present when, or let me back up. Did you observe Mr. Daybell and Ms. Vallow together?
Yes.
Do you know if that was the first time they had met?
Yes, it was.
Were you part of introducing them?
I was, we walked into the building together and I can't remember if I introduced her or if she introduced herself. I can't recall.
And when you say we walked into the building, is that referring to you and Lori?
Me and Lori and several other women.
And Mr. Daybell or Chad Daybell was already present?
Correct.
Throughout the conference, did you see Mr. Daybell again?
Yes.
Did you have an opportunity to observe Lori and Chad together?
I did.
What observations, if any, did you make?
They communicated a lot and they were very interested in communicating about the things that they were learning and talking about. Seemed to be friendly.
And when you say they were communicating a lot, did you see them engaged in conversation together?
I did.
Did it appear to be deep conversation?
Yes.
Did they appear to be focused on each other?
Yes.
Was there anything else about it that caught your attention?
They seemed to be attracted to each other. That caught my attention.
And at the time that you're there in October, do you know if Lori Vallow was married?
Yes, she was.
Had you ever met her husband at that point?
I had.
And who was her husband?
Charles Vallow.
Do you know if Chad Daybell was married at that point?
Yes, I do, and he was.
And do you know who his wife was?
Tammy Daybell.
Had you ever met Tammy?
No.
After that conference, did you travel back to Arizona with Lori?
I did.
Do you recall sometime after the conference talking to her about what she and Chad discussed?
Yes.
What were some of the things she shared with you?
He shared with her, according to what she shared with me, that...
Your Honor, if I may respond.
Grounds to the objection. Ms. Blake, you may respond.
Your Honor, it's a statement of a party opponent as well as a charged co-conspirator.
All right. The court does find that's an exception to the hearsay rule that applies here, so the witness can answer the question. Objections overruled.
And do you recall the question?
Yes. She said that they talked about multiple lives and I believe she talked about, you know, how many lives that she had lived on this earth, and that she indeed was married to someone named Moroni in a previous life. Those kind of conversations. Yeah.
And prior to meeting Chad Daybell, did Lori tell you if, did Lori ever talk about multiple probations before that or multiple lives?
She did.
So she had some interest in that subject matter already?
Yes.
But when you talked to her about her conversation with Chad at that conference, she told you Chad gave her some additional information?
That's right.
Did she say anything regarding what Chad had told her about she and Chad?
That they had been married in previous probations.
Did Lori seem receptive of that information?
She did.
And we talked about you'd met Charles before, correct?
That's right.
Had you ever met Lori's children?
Yes.
And did you ever meet Tylee Ryan?
I did.
Did you ever meet JJ Vallow?
I did.
Do you recall where you met them?
In Lori's house.
Did you have an opportunity to observe Lori with her children?
I did.
What observations, if any, did you make about her and Tylee?
They had a difficult relationship. They didn't necessarily get along very well.
And what about Lori and JJ?
I could tell she had a lot of affection for him, but he was autistic and he seemed to be very busy for her.
We talked a little bit about you met Lori in October of 2018. And initially, how often did you two have contact?
In the beginning, it was almost daily, with the exception probably of a day or two a week. And that was probably for maybe about a month or two.
Do you recall approximately when the contact wasn't as frequent or what was going on at that time?
Yes. It was after January when she started to move around. She moved multiple times, so I couldn't keep in contact with her.
And that would be January of 2019?
Correct.
And to be clear, she wasn't moving around to avoid contact with you?
Right.
But just as she moved around, right, you'd lose track of her?
Well, we wouldn't see each other. Yeah.
Did you still talk to her on the phone?
Yes.
And after that first conference in October, do you recall the next time that you saw Chad Daybell?
The next month, November 2018, he came down for a conference in Arizona.
When he came down to Arizona, did his wife come with him?
No.
And at that conference in October, did you ever see his wife, Tammy, there?
No.
When he came down, he came down to a conference in November in Arizona.
That's right.
Was Lori present for that conference?
Yes.
Outside of the conference, did you see him at any other gathering?
Yes, at her house.
And when you say her house, is that Lori?
That's right.
Was her house in Arizona at the time?
Yes.
Can you tell me a little bit about the gathering?
So the one at her house was a small group of people met before the conference. And so there was, I don't know, maybe 20 people there. And so Lori and her friends were there.
Did you have an opportunity to observe Lori and Chad together at that meeting or the gathering at her house?
Yes.
What observations did you make?
They talked often with each other. They seemed to be very interested in each other.
Did Lori at any time tell you anything about she and Chad when he was down there in Arizona?
Yes. She told me that they had been married before in previous probations.
Is that when she first shared that information with you?
I believe she shared it with me in St. George. So it's between St. George and November she shared it.
Did she talk about going to the temple with Chad?
She did.
What did she tell you about that?
She told me that they were going to be resealed again like they had been in previous lives together.
And did she tell you that they, in fact, had gone to the temple?
Yes.
And that was in November, about a month after meeting each other?
That's right.
And she told you the purpose of that was so they could be sealed together again?
That's right.
At that time, was Charles still alive?
Yes.
And was Tammy still alive?
Yes.
Was Charles present at the gathering at her house?
No.
Do you know where he was, or did you learn where he was?
He was out of town.
Do you know what Chad did for a living?
He was a sexton and he wrote books.
With regard to his books, had you ever read any of his books?
Yes.
Do you know if Lori had read any of his books?
Yes.
Did she seem interested in his books?
Yes.
When Chad was there in November, do you know where he stayed?
He stayed at Lori's house.
And Charles was not there?
Correct.
Did anyone else stay at her house, if you know?
Yes, there were multiple people there.
Were there any other men there?
I don't know if her brother was there, but nobody else that I know of.
And when you say her brother, do you know which brother you're referring to?
Alex.
Did you ever meet any of Lori's other brothers or her other brother?
I don't think so.
There's more to come in the trial of Chad Daybell. Press subscribe so you don't miss any of our continuing coverage right here from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast.
This is Matt Rogers from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
This is Bowen Yang from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
You know when people try a new food and suddenly it's like, wait.
That's the reaction a lot of people are having when they first try Kewpie mayo.
It's the one with the red cap and the little baby on the bottle. You've probably seen it in the grocery store before.
And if you've ever just walked past it, some people would say that's a huge mistake.
Because this mayo is different.
Most mayonnaise uses whole eggs. Kewpie only uses egg yolks, which gives it this rich umami flavor. It's smoother, deeper, and almost buttery.
Once people try it, they start putting it on everything.
Egg sandwiches, fries, burgers. Some fans even swear by dipping pizza crust in it.
And once you notice it, you start seeing it everywhere.
Chefs use it. Restaurants use it. People who really care about flavor use it.
Never tried it? Grab the bottle with the red cap next time you're at the store.
Put it on just about anything.
Then you'll understand.
Kewpie, the original Japanese mayonnaise.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
This is Matt Rogers from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
This is Bowen Yang from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
You know when people try a new food and suddenly it's like, wait.
That's the reaction a lot of people are having when they first try Kewpie mayo.
It's the one with the red cap and the little baby on the bottle. You've probably seen it in the grocery store before.
And if you've ever just walked past it, some people would say that's a huge mistake.
Because this mayo is different.
Most mayonnaise uses whole eggs. Kewpie only uses egg yolks, which gives it this rich umami flavor. It's smoother, deeper, and almost buttery.
Once people try it, they start putting it on everything.
Egg sandwiches, fries, burgers. Some fans even swear by dipping pizza crust in it.
And once you notice it, you start seeing it everywhere.
Chefs use it. Restaurants use it. People who really care about flavor use it.
Never tried it? Grab the bottle with the red cap next time you're at the store.
Put it on just about anything.
Then you'll understand.
Kewpie, the original Japanese mayonnaise.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
This is Matt Rogers from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
This is Bowen Yang from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
You know when people try a new food and suddenly it's like, wait.
That's the reaction a lot of people are having when they first try Kewpie mayo.
It's the one with the red cap and the little baby on the bottle. You've probably seen it in the grocery store before.
And if you've ever just walked past it, some people would say that's a huge mistake.
Because this mayo is different.
Most mayonnaise uses whole eggs. Kewpie only uses egg yolks, which gives it this rich umami flavor. It's smoother, deeper, and almost buttery.
Once people try it, they start putting it on everything.
Egg sandwiches, fries, burgers. Some fans even swear by dipping pizza crust in it.
And once you notice it, you start seeing it everywhere.
Chefs use it. Restaurants use it. People who really care about flavor use it.
Never tried it? Grab the bottle with the red cap next time you're at the store.
Put it on just about anything.
Then you'll understand.
Kewpie, the original Japanese mayonnaise.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus terms and conditions apply.
This is Matt Rogers from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
This is Bowen Yang from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
You know when people try on new food and suddenly it's like, wait.
That's the reaction a lot of people are having when they first try Kewpie mayo.
It's the one with the red cap and the little baby on the bottle. You've probably seen it in the grocery store before.
And if you've ever just walked past it, some people would say that's a huge mistake.
Because this mayo is different.
Most mayonnaise uses whole eggs. Kewpie only uses egg yolks, which gives it this rich umami flavor. It's smoother, deeper, and almost buttery.
Once people try it, they start putting it on everything.
Egg sandwiches, fries, burgers. Some fans even swear by dipping pizza crust in it.
And once you notice it, you start seeing it everywhere.
Chefs use it. Restaurants use it. People who really care about flavor use it.
Never tried it? Grab the bottle with the red cap next time you're at the store.
Put it on just about anything.
Then you'll understand.
Kewpie, the original Japanese mayonnaise.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
This is Matt Rogers from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
This is Bowen Yang from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
You know when people try on new food and suddenly it's like, wait.
That's the reaction a lot of people are having when they first try Kewpie mayo.
It's the one with the red cap and the little baby on the bottle. You've probably seen it in the grocery store before.
And if you've ever just walked past it, some people would say that's a huge mistake.
Because this mayo is different.
Most mayonnaise uses whole eggs. Kewpie only uses egg yolks, which gives it this rich umami flavor. It's smoother, deeper, and almost buttery.
Once people try it, they start putting it on everything.
Egg sandwiches, fries, burgers. Some fans even swear by dipping pizza crust in it.
And once you notice it, you start seeing it everywhere.
Chefs use it. Restaurants use it. People who really care about flavor use it.
Never tried it? Grab the bottle with the red cap next time you're at the store.
Put it on just about anything.
Then you'll understand.
Kewpie, the original Japanese mayonnaise.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
This is Matt Rogers from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
This is Bowen Yang from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
You know when people try on new food and suddenly it's like, wait.
That's the reaction a lot of people are having when they first try Kewpie mayo.
It's the one with the red cap and the little baby on the bottle. You've probably seen it in the grocery store before.
And if you've ever just walked past it, some people would say that's a huge mistake.
Because this mayo is different.
Most mayonnaise uses whole eggs. Kewpie only uses egg yolks, which gives it this rich umami flavor. It's smoother, deeper, and almost buttery.
Once people try it, they start putting it on everything.
Egg sandwiches, fries, burgers. Some fans even swear by dipping pizza crust in it.
And once you notice it, you start seeing it everywhere.
Chefs use it. Restaurants use it. People who really care about flavor use it.
Never tried it? Grab the bottle with the red cap next time you're at the store.
Put it on just about anything.
Then you'll understand.
Kewpie, the original Japanese mayonnaise.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.